Welcome to the Hannah Miller Show. And here she is, Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly conservative and unashamedly Christian, this is Hannah Miller, and this is what happened this week. So first of all, sorry about last week. I know I didn't warn you guys that I was not going to be there. I made a last minute decision to travel to Pennsylvania, took all my kids with me, and went to stay with my sister, who is very pregnant, and while her husband was out of town. She has a habit of having her babies early and very quickly, and her husband had to be out of town a few hours away for work. And so I said, you know what, I'll just throw the kids in the car and we'll come up and stay with you while he is out of town and visit my niece for her birthday and do all of that and see you one last time before the baby comes, and it'll be a while before we are able to see you again. All of our kids are best friends, and so they all get along great. And my other sister ended up caravanning with me, so we had a house full. It was 12 children with one on the way. She did not have her baby, unfortunately, while we were there. And as of this recording, is still pregnant, much to her chagrin. but she's hanging in there, doing all right, doing well. So hopefully we'll have a new little Shromkin here soon. But anyway, that's why I was gone last week and wasn't able to do a podcast for you guys. And I, like I said, made a little bit of a last minute decision to do that, so I didn't give you guys a heads up. So I apologize for that. So we're really going to have one main story here this week, and we're going to camp there. But before we do, let me just answer the question that everybody has been asking all over the internet. And that is man versus bear, man or bear. Really. And that is the question of, would a woman rather be in the woods with a man or a bear? And of course, all the women on the internet are like, I would much rather be in the woods alone with a bear versus a man, because they're deeming a bear much less dangerous. And, you know, and there's actually dads, like moms posing this question to dads, and dads kind of being a little bit paralyzed thinking about, you know, their little girl being in the woods alone with an unknown man or an unknown bear. Which would they prefer? And I kind of get it, really, the paralysis that's putting these folks in. Let me answer this for you real clear, real simple. All right, for me, man or bear? Man, every time. And you want to know why? Because I carry a Smith & Wesson. And that Smith & Wesson can take a man out, but probably can't penetrate the hide of a bear very well. Probably need something a little bit heavier dutier than that. My point, though, is that dads, boyfriends, husbands, moms, teach the girls in your life how to shoot a weapon and how to carry an equalizer, so that this question is not a non-issue. It shouldn't be, because we do have something that is an equalizer for those kinds of situations, and equip them with the tools that they need to be safe. All right, that's off my little soapbox for that. All right, so for today's main topic, we're going to be talking about South Carolina politics and something here, but probably your state's has a similar process, so you want to hang with us here. In the movie, let me start out with this. In the movie The Help, there is an iconic scene that anyone who has seen the movie has seared into their memory, and you probably are already thinking about it. If you've seen the movie, you probably already know exactly what scene I'm about to bring up. One of the main characters, Minnie Jackson, played by Octavia Spencer, visits the home of housewife Celia Foote, played by Jessica Chastain, who has mistreated Minnie terribly throughout the movie. In the scene, you see Minnie marching down the street in her Sunday best, carrying a lovely chocolate pie. Upon arriving at Celia's home, Minnie offers up the pie with a contrite, "Sorry." The next scene shows Celia eating the pie with relish as she continues to denigrate Minnie while simultaneously complimenting Minnie's baking skills and asking Minnie what the secret ingredient is for her pie. The scene reaches its climax when Minnie follows up a degrading job offer from Celia with the comment, "Eat my," and I'll let you fill in the blank. It's a word I won't repeat, but you catch my drift. Minnie's antagonist immediately rises to her feet, demanding, "Have you lost your mind?" And with a defiant look, Minnie calmly replies, "No, but you're about to." Housewife Celia Foote begins choking and gagging as she realizes the secret ingredient in the pie she just consumed is Minnie's fecal matter. As much as everyone watching the movie believes Celia Foote, who's been an absolutely disgusting character throughout the whole movie, deserved a large serving of comeuppance, we all still instinctively grimaced at the thought of eating chocolate pie laced with feces. Why am I bringing this up? Because as delicious as chocolate pie is, none of us would touch it with a 10-foot pole, a 20-foot pole, if we knew that even the slightest bit of fecal matter contaminated the pie. And this, my friends, is why, as wonderful as pay raises for teachers, firefighters, and the like would be, we should understand why good, right-thinking politicians refused to vote for the recent South Carolina budget. You see, buried amongst the wonderful things we all want, such as teacher and police officer pay raises, because we all recognize that those things are needed, those things are good things, our public servants deserve a raise, some of them are working for crumbs and they're doing the most difficult jobs, and we all agree about that. But in addition to those wonderful things, the South Carolina budget also spent millions of dollars to the tune of somewhere around $50 million, I believe, to bring Biden's Green New Deal to South Carolina. It gave away somewhere around $10 million to Hollywood film producers. It handed about $2.6 million to woke artists via the Art Commission. It contributes somewhere around $10 million into a slush fund to relocate foreign companies to South Carolina, including companies with ties to the Chinese Communist Party. And it frivolously relocated five agencies from out-of-state-owned buildings and into expensive, privately-owned office space, which would obligate taxpayers to more than $500 million in rent. Those things are a bad deal. And before I go any further, let me briefly get into the weeds of how the South Carolina budget is developed and passed. The budget has to be passed as a whole, instead of allowing for different items to be voted on and passed individually. Ideally, teacher pay raises would be a line item. Spending $50 million on the Green New Deal would be its own line item, so on and so forth. Voting on funding for each item versus the whole would be a much more transparent and personally appealing process. And I know that my representative and other representatives have advocated for this, of having line items that are voted on and passed versus having to pass the whole thing. Instead, currently, in order to fund anything, you have to fund everything. In other words, there is no way to get the pie without getting the poo. Good, right-thinking politicians should refuse to shove feces-laced pie down the throats of their constituents, no matter how appealing the chocolate and no matter how little feces the budget contains. And I apologize for the graphic imagery here, but I want you to viscerally recoil from the idea of having politicians hoist an egregious and frankly unconstitutional in so many aspects of a tax burden on South Carolina citizens. Why am I bringing all of this up right now? And why am I particularly passionate about it? Because a political candidate running in my district and a few of his supporters are relying on District 38 citizens being ignorant regarding the budget process in South Carolina. And to paraphrase the great philosopher, Foghorn Leghorn, they have reached the limitations of my medication. So, here I am, here to help us all understand the budget process a little more, so we can better discern what is true and what is false when various politicians begin to make accusations against one another. Because at least let me do my part to help my fellow District 38 citizens to understand this process. I don't want to try to tell you, he said, she said, blah, blah, blah. I want you to understand the process so that whether it's this current political campaign or if it's 10 years down the road, you can understand and kind of discern for yourself. I want folks to understand the process for themselves. I can tell you all day long, but some people want to know, and some people don't. Some people want to just call me and have me tell them who they should vote for. And you know, to be honest, I don't have a problem with that. Not everybody's got the time to look at or the passion to look into these things like I do, but they care and they want to know and they see me as a trusted source. And so they'll call me up 2 days before it's time to vote and say, hey, who do you recommend and why? And I'm happy to explain that. I do not quibble over that. I am very honored that they would. But there are some folks who do want to better understand and they dive into this, and that's why they're listening to this podcast, is they're trying to carve out a little time. And to them, I want to come alongside them as well. So that's what we're doing today. I want to help you guys understand and discern what is true and what is false for yourself regarding this budget process. Because you see, my representative, Josiah Magnuson of District 38, is being accused of not wanting to give pay raises to police officers, firefighters, and teachers, despite his long history of advocating for these very things, and despite his voting to increase these sections of the budget. Yes, indeed. You can look at those sections of the budget over the years, because he always takes pictures of them and puts them up on his Facebook. He's the most active politician on social media. He is so transparent, and you can always see how he votes on every issue. You can look and see that Josiah has a yes vote on those sections. Because remember, politicians can vote yes or no on each section of the budget, but in the end, the whole pie must be passed, as they say. And so he can say, yes, we should have teacher pay raises. No, we shouldn't have this Green New Deal, funding for the Green New Deal. Yes, we should have pay raises for firefighters. Or yes, we should have more funding for roads. No, we don't want to relocate these offices and increase, you know, and saddle taxpayers with $500 million to cover it. Those things he can say, but in the end, those are not pass votes. Those are just, yes, I approve this being in the bill. No, I don't approve that being in the budget. That kind of thing. In the end, though, none of those votes technically matter. It all comes down to yay or nay. Do we pass the whole budget or not? And so in the end, the whole pie must be passed. And so while Josiah has consistently and emphatically voted for pay raises for public servants, he has also voted no on passing the overall budget, which means he believes, rightly so in my opinion, there is continued work to be done on the budget, and it shouldn't be passed as is, chocolate, poo, and all. Because that's what they say. A no vote on passing the budget is saying there's more work to be done. We could continue to work on this and make this better. But they just want to pass it. They put a lot of work into it. I get it. It's very stressful. But just because it's hard doesn't mean the work is done. Sometimes we have to continue and not just say, all right, we've done enough. Even if you've done a lot. There's a lot of things in my life where I'm like, I've come really far. I've put a lot of work and put a lot of time into this, and I just want to be done, but I can't. And our politicians should not be allowed to do that either. Most interestingly, though, to me, when asked point blank if he would vote to pass the South Carolina budget, chocolate, poo, and all, Jason Shamus, who's running against Josiah Magnuson, has refused to answer that question. I saw it for myself. I went to multiple locations on his social media where they were tearing into Josiah on this topic, and multiple people asked Jason, well, would you vote yes on the budget then? Are you saying that you're going to vote yes? And where Jason had been super active in bandying back and forth with on that comment thread, all of a sudden that question is totally ignored. Multiple times, totally ignored. And he refused to answer it. Furthermore, Seamus hasn't filled out the Palmetto Gun Rights Survey. Seamus said he never received the survey, which could actually quite possibly be true. I'm not saying that's not true. I have no reason to disbelieve it. But now that he's aware of it, which he did, he was actually on there. You know, they sent out an ad saying that he hadn't answered any of the questions and they wanted to know why. And he commented on it and said he'd not received it. And so he's now aware, though, that there is a survey that he was supposed to have received. And according to Palmetto Gun Rights, they said that Seamus sent them a scathing email, but he did not ask for the survey, and he still has not filled out the survey and sent it back. Why won't he? And maybe an honest mistake was made, but his continued refusal to submit the survey seems to further indicate a pattern of avoidance on his part, in my opinion. And to give the most benefit of the doubt, I think Seamus just doesn't know the process. I don't think he understands the budget process and what all that looks like, and has maybe gotten in a little over his head. And now he doesn't know how to respond. And now he's just angry with the Palmetto Gun folks for putting something out there, because Seamus is a veteran and, you know, says he supports the Second Amendment and all that. But okay, so can you do the survey for us and put it out there? I mean, why not? I mean, maybe you're angry at them for saying that you haven't, but you haven't. Now you know that there is a survey, so fill it out. Let people know where you stand. Why the continued belligerence? I don't understand that. And so there just seems to be some avoidance. And like I said, I just think maybe he's to give the most benefit of the doubt, he probably has just gotten in over his head. And in my opinion, he's avoiding some of these hard questions because, frankly, he probably doesn't know the answer, since he most likely is just repeating what he's been told and what he's been told to say about Josiah. And it's easy to look like we know what we're talking about when the quiz is multiple choice and we're just regurgitating. But it's much harder when we're asked to defend our argument. And every time that he was asked to defend his arguments, he just does a runaround or totally avoids the question. And last thing about Seamus, and this is just what I really wanted to highlight was his avoiding answering these questions about the budget because of his accusations against Josiah regarding the budget. But the other thing I will say is that the first quarter campaign finance reports are out. And if you look at Josiah's campaign financing versus Jason Seamus, Jason has received 71.9% of his total campaign financing from outside of District 38. And it's actually more than that when you put all of the numbers together. But Chamber of Commerce, Downtown Spartanburg, attorneys and law firms, only four business owners have donated to him. He's had three Democrats who've donated to him, which is interesting. And the total from District 38 has been $1,540. And from addresses in District 38, only seven donations have gone to Jason Seamus. On the other hand, Representative Josiah has received something like around $2,025 from Downtown Spartanburg. He's received $0 from the Chamber of Commerce. He's received $3,000 from truckers, $250 from attorneys and law firms, so much smaller amount there, 23 donations from business owners, and zero donations from Democrats. He's also received three donations from public school teachers, whereas Seamus has received none. So how does this come down to the districts for Josiah? Well, the total from District 38 for Josiah is $13,020. Addresses in District 38, he's had 99 of his donations, 71.2% have been from addresses in District 38. And so you see all of this stacked up. You know, it's very concerning to me when the Chamber of Commerce is a major donor to a candidate. And it's very concerning when a huge portion, 72% of your campaign donations are coming from outside of your district, specifically downtown Spartanburg. What does that tell you? I just think there's a lot of problems there. But anyway, back to the budget issue, which is today's main point. South Carolina politicians, they can do better for their constituents, no matter what they tell you. And I know that there are those already now on social media trying to convince you that, well, we had to pass this because it's for the better good. It's for the majority. We had to do what was good for the majority. This is why, in particular, we have a Bill of Rights to protect us from the tyranny of the majority, and why, in general, moral progress has been the result of the idea that individual sentient beings have natural rights that override the moral claims of groups, tribes, races, nations, and religion. And that is a quote by Michael Shermer. And that's all very true. This is not how we operate in the United States of America. And so I do not accept this idea that we have to, in the budget of South Carolina, we have to do what's best for the majority. No, I sent you there to represent me as an individual, and I expect you to take however long it takes and to do whatever hard work is required to best represent me, the individual, as your constituent. Not to be thinking about everybody else everywhere else. That's how this works in a constitutional republic and in our state. That is how it operates. And so I will not accept this. I do not accept this. And you should not accept this when they try to tell you, well, we just had to pass it. Because they say that year after year after year. And after all these years, nothing's been done. The budget just continues to grow. The spending continues to go out of control. And we continue to fund things that are immoral and illegal and unconstitutional. But because the budget must be passed, and few politicians will actually demand the budget be revised each year, South Carolina citizens are force-fed a burdensome budget full of feces.
Thank you for listening to The Hannah Miller Show. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Productions. If you'd like to find out more about Hannah or to schedule her for a speaking event, go to her website, thehannahmillershow.com.